Chairwoman Leslie didn't advise me on any upcoming events or items on the agenda as to anything she had in mind. I know some people tuned in for the mental health board meeting. I just wanted to share that Kate Flynn Post, the research analyst for the mental health board, had put together a really extensive list of public comment that many of the council members, stakeholder council members, attended. And I believe that it was a very good, concise, and organized list, and I was able to share that. People from the board got that ahead of time to review, and then it was shared at the board meeting, and it was discussed, and we do have another public comment that will be coming up on my calendar here, March
16th, Mary.
Thank you. For some reason, I'm not seeing. Oh, there it is. March 16th at 4:30 p.m. At Washington Park, and this is relative to the budget. So it's a specific topic, public comment, where we'd like people to comment about what they would like to see the dollars spent on for the next biennial budget. And the budget for the mental health board is done far in advance to when the county board budget is done. We have to have ours done and voted on by July versus because it has to go to the county exec for approval, and then it goes to the county board supervisors, and then it gets approved in the entire budget. So we have a very early budget process, and we'll get you the schedule for that, because I don't believe people have that. Do they, Darion?
I'm not sure if that meeting was forwarded, but I definitely can do so.
Okay, well, we can do that. And also, we worked out a process by which DHHS administration and Jill Linton will be putting together the announcements for upcoming public comment and board meetings. So there will be somebody that actually will be doing that on behalf of the mental health board. And so that will be taken care of. So you can anticipate getting something emailed to you in the next week or in the next, within the next few days or next week rather, because it's new of the week already. And then to disseminate into your areas and people that are in your community, your area of reach for the next, excuse me. Sorry, I have two puppies. It's like having children. So that is something that's coming up that's of timely nature, is the public comments and getting information out, because it was by the work that all of you had done that we had a record of 40-some people in attendance at the last public comment, and I believe we had 22 out of 23 people that signed up to speak, and we had people in the community that got people, other people in the community to talk, and that was a phenomenal response. And Chairwoman Perez did send a letter out to the mental health board indicating that it's very important for board members to be there to hear the public comment as well, and realizing that things come up that some board members can't make it, but that the public comment board meetings are as important to be at as regular board meetings. So does anybody have any input or comment to what I've said so far before I just become long-winded? Any thoughts or...
And then if no one is speaking, can you guys make sure that you are muted just to kill out any background noises?
No. I'm so sorry about the dog barking. They've been really good all day. I've been on multiple meetings all day, and they've been really well behaved. So, it's been a long day of meetings. So, so that's relative to the public comment, how the public comment went, the upcoming public comment, the time frame. We'll get you the time frame out for the budget process for the mental health board. One of the things that I'm working on with Brenda is applying to the city ARPA funds and some other places and trying to work with Milwaukee County on getting some funding to send members of the Community Stakeholder Advisory Council and members of the BIPOC community to a couple of conferences that are coming up. One is the state-sponsored opiate conference, and that is in May. And then there's a harm reduction conference that's going to be held in the Dells. And then in June, the end of June, is a harm reduction conference. So we'll keep you posted if anything comes to fruition on that. It'll be an application process. And we're trying to make it all work. And the state is willing to work with us and pull this together. So see if we can get some funds to make it work. So think about people within your reach and in the community that could benefit from learning about getting educated more on the opiates and also on harm reduction, which is harm reduction is looking at philosophies around prevention and intervention other than just abstinence for people that do use. And that includes things like needle exchange. It includes things like using fentanyl test strips as a way of harm reduction, just as a couple of things off the top of my head. And so it's a pretty innovative conference. And you'd have to be 18 and older. And so that would be, but we're particularly going to do an outreach to the BIPOC community on that. And so that we're working on that behind the scenes. So those are the updates that I have. And the other update I have is, I probably can send you the link, and that is that, pull up my text message here. Fraser Hospital opened a few days ago a new unit called the Complexity Intervention Unit, and it's an inpatient unit. It used to be the Fuller Southeast Unit, where it's physically located, and this was brought forward by two board members of the Health Hospital Foundation Board, and it was supported with funding from the Warner Family Foundation, committed a gift of $150,000, and the PNC Foundation, $25,000 for this, to set the ball rolling for this unit. And it's a specialized medical unit that will give, it says, our community access to the latest and most effective treatment options in safe and a healing environment. So the premise behind it is that people are, I believe, at Fraser Hospital for inpatient purposes. At least of what the article was saying that I have in front of me, a condition that may complicate their medical care, postoperative course, and recovery. And it talks about how research says that mental illness, can affect the recovery of those processes, and that people have a higher risk of dying. And so this unit will care for those vulnerable patients who suffer from the adverse effects of medical and psychiatric illness. And there's a 24-bed unit of highly trained healthcare professionals that have both psychiatric and medical training to intervene concurrently with medical and psychiatric issues. And the health issues are substance abuse, drug overdose, suicide, neurocognitive conditions, along with comorbid acute medical conditions such as neurological disorders, cancer, and cardiovascular disease. And I'll find out if there's somehow we can forward this link, because I just have a link, and this was brought to my attention today by someone out in the community. And I know Mr. Lappin indicated that he had heard a presentation about this earlier this week or recently. So I don't know if you have any input that you want to provide on that, Mike.
Yeah, so this has been in the works for, I want to say, 3 years. This unit, it is not a psychiatric unit, but it is a med psych unit. Dr. Heinrich is the psychiatrist involved. There's a whole team of hospitalists, but the idea was there was a recognized niche for them, for people with medical issues who also had would benefit from psychiatric care, and it took them quite a while to get this operationalized, and especially with the challenges in staffing. I believe they actually hired at least one of our former PCS psychiatrists to work on that unit, in addition to some other former BHS staff. So there is some sort of experience from our system that got to be part of this as well. Yeah, but Dr. Heinrich did a presentation to the Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership last Thursday.
Okay. Thank you. So that's pretty much what I have to offer. So we can move on to the information. We can move on to the next agenda item.
Item number 3.